Hi, welcome to Speaking of Sex with the Pleasure Mechanics. I'm Chris from PleasureMechanics.com, and today we have the pleasure of speaking with Elle Chase. Elle is a sex coach, writer, and speaker who offers a candid and joyful perspective on sexuality. She is the creator, curator, and editor of award-winning websites, LadyCheeky.com and SmutForSmarties.com. And she also serves as the director of education and the lead sex educator at the Los Angeles Academy of Sex Education. Elle's first book, Curvy Girl Sex, 101 Body Positive Positions to Empower Your Sex Life, just launched. And today we'll be diving into that topic and more. She was our guest on episode 52, so definitely check that out for her amazing story about how watching True Blood launched her into the world of sex coaching and how she became one of the preeminent sex educators of our time. In her new book, Elle offers useful sex advice for all the curvy girls out there, especially when it comes to mixing it up in the bedroom. But this advice, of course, can be useful for anyone who is interested in more creative, playful, and interesting sex, so please stay tuned. Elle, welcome to Speaking of Sex.
Why, thank you for having me. This is one of my favorite podcasts of all time.
Aww, so thanks.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. We're so happy to have you, and congratulations on this book.
Thank you.
Can you tell us a little bit about it and what led you to write this specific book?
Well, I can tell you that they called, I think I was referred to the publisher by Lauren Marie Fleming and Tina Horn, who are both authors in their own right, and they had an idea for this book, Curvy Girl Sex, and I wrote up a proposal and they accepted it. So that's what that was. But basically what they wanted and what I wrote was 101 positions, and the positions are really wonderful for people of size and also for people who have mobility issues. And some of them are even great for pregnant women. They really do sort of span all different types of body types too. So it's really an everything position book. There's also some sex education in there. There's some pleasure education. So it was a really fun book to write. It does have a little lighthearted, fun tone and great illustrations. And it's as inclusive as I could get. And I'm pretty proud of it.
Well, it was really beautiful to look through. And, you know, we've all seen the posters of sex positions on college walls. And
yes,
I've said on this podcast before, I'm kind of frustrated with the idea that positions are the answer to better sex.
Yeah.
But you packed a lot into the book about how positions can not only create more novelty and adventure in the bedroom, but also unlock different sensations. And so there's a lot of arousal education in this book as well. What are some of your ideas about what can be gained by using the lens of, let's switch up positions? Like, how does that affect your sex life?
Well, switching up positions is just one way to do it, but it is certainly not the only way. And I think what I say in the book is I can tell you what to do. I can tell you how to move your body and in what positions to put your body. But if there are deeper issues, that is something that needs to be worked on separately. But I think that people with larger bodies or people with body issues, body image issues, because I think what people forget too is we could look average size to the rest of the world, but we treat ourselves as if there is something inherently wrong with our body size, or we're too scared to show our thighs because they're cellulite, when just about every woman over the age of 25 has cellulite. So I think that is also part of it. There's the mind and the body, and getting those two together was something that I was hoping to achieve in this book.
Yeah, and one of the things that you do that I love is you say that you don't have to love 101 positions. Maybe you'll find three new ones that really work for you. And I think that's so important, not to put pressure on ourselves to be able to contort ourselves into every position, but rather find the ones that for our specific body and how we fit with our partner work well. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I would get frustrated. I looked at a lot of position books for research for this. And the thing that I guess really sort of discouraged me was that it was all like, you can really do this. You can do all of these. And I can't do all of those. I can do a lot, but I can't do all of them. And also, even if I can do them, they might not be pleasurable for me because internally I may be different than you or, you know, Jane down the street or, you know, Joe, you know, so I'm going to be a different snowflake, as it were. So, so I just sort of wanted it to be a little bit more, light and not as pressure building. You don't have to love your body, but you do have to accept your body to be a little bit freer and a little bit happier being naked in front of a partner, I think, and being able to contort yourself into some positions with the sometimes the help of pillows or other products that you can use for terrific sexual interludes.
You're reading my mind here. Okay, there's two questions I wanted to ask you that you just touched on. Let's start with the love. No, it's perfect. We're kittens of the same litter. What is that?
Yes.
I think I just made up that phrase. It's the weirdest
ever. I love it. I'm going to use it now. I'm stealing it.
So you've said this before, that you don't need to love your body for great sex. And there is this old trope in sex education. It's like, learn to love your body and everything will fall into place. So why do you really focus on this idea that maybe great sex can come first?
Well, you know, listen, I believe just like, you know, spiritual, you know, religions and philosophies that there's a path for everybody and whatever works, works, you know. So if loving your body is the path, that's great. But there's so many of us that see all of this, love your body, love your body, love your body. And I'm never going to be there, to be perfectly honest. Mm-hmm. I mean, I accept my body. And I accept the fact that I'm going to look like this probably for the rest of my life. And in fact, it'll probably droop more and I'll probably get heavier. Who knows, yeah. You know? But if I accept it, then that's something I can work with. If I have to love it, I'm never going to get there. I just know that. You know, there's too much to fight against. There's the past of being teased or just feeling teased or feeling looked at and judged and the media and all of that that we have to try and get past. And it's just so deeply ingrained in us in ways that I'm sure we don't even know yet. So accepting, I think, is a manageable way to be able to forget those things that you dislike about your body when you are in a position of having an intimate experience where losing that perception is really integral to enjoying it and also pleasing your partner. And, you know, enjoying it even more and opening yourself up to more experiences. So, I think acceptance is a more realistic and attainable idea for a lot of us out there that feel like there was no difference. I either have to hate my body or love my body, and there's nothing in the middle. Mm.
I was just listening to a Buddhist teacher talk about the idea that going from where we are now to loving our neighbor or loving our enemy is too much of a stretch. And there's this middle ground of neutrality and acceptance.
Yes.
From that place, we can learn to love.
Yes, I 100% agree. There's a spiritual philosophy that I follow, and they would always say, Abraham Hicks, and they would always say, you can't get from, you know, from 1 to 10 without going through, I think, the rest of the you know, the numbers. I usually say A to Z without going through the rest of the letters. But it's true. They're there for a reason. You know, there are steps for a reason. Otherwise, we would just go from A to Z.
So how can exploring different positions help us have better sex with our insecurities, with our bodies as they are? Like, what are the steps we can take to finding the positions that work best for us?
Well, I think just accepting that you need help with some positions, and getting a book, or if not mine, somebody else's, that will help you look at positions in a way that are attainable. But I also think that when you're given the tools to help yourself, you will not only grow from that experience, but you will then build on top of that. So I have 101 positions, but there are 101 more, and people will come up with those. You know, you'll be doing the swan, and you'll go, you know how this will be better for me if I hold on to the back of the bed, or if I cross my feet here instead of there. And that's what a position book is really great for. It's a starting point for what works for you. I think that none of these exercises, by any stretch of the imagination, are finite in how they're described. I think you find the way that it works best for you, and you go from there.
Let's talk about pillows and props. What role do they have in the bedroom?
Well, for someone who has mobility issues or is a person of size, I think they're essential. I actually think pillows are essential for just about everybody, for different types of sex, and for deepening some sexual positions. But for pillows, for someone who has a lot of flesh or has a back problem or knee problems or whatever, front heavy, back heavy, I think pillows are essential, because with pillows you can prop yourself up and you can let gravity do their thing and pull some flesh back towards your face if you're on the bottom. It will bring somebody's pelvis up to you in a much more open way if you're on top. It just expands. It's kind of like, you know, a concentrated, like instant coffee. You know, you've got coffee and then you add water, and it tastes great, but there's so much more of it. It might have been a little too strong at first in the crystals, those little Folgers crystals, but I don't know if that makes any sense whatsoever. But
well, we require a food metaphor in every episode, so
well,
you nailed it.
Might have hit the quota.
And are standard bed pillows enough?
I don't think so. I really don't. I've tried them all, trust me. And I think I prefer using what they call sex furniture, which there is a company called Liberator that makes these things called wedges and ramps and all different shapes that make it much easier for people to use. And they're made out of industrial foam, so they don't give very much, but they're still soft and they're plush, and they have different, like I said, different sizes, different shapes, and finding the one that works for you. They're not that expensive for something that'll probably last you, you know, 30 years. But I use the wedge a lot because it is, like I said, a wedge, and it will prop up my hips for my partner who's going down on me, or it'll prop up my hips so that they can reach my pussy easier. It also helps my back when we're doing doggy and I have to lean over something. I use the ramp for that. I can use the ramp in conjunction with the wedge for all different kinds of positions. And then my partner, who's not of size, can use it as well. So everyone can use a Liberator, but it makes it so much easier.
And if anyone asks, it's for yoga.
Yes, exactly. It's for yoga, or it's, you know, it's kind of like one of those pillow husbands that you use with little arms that you sit in bed and watch TV. I use it as a computer table sometimes when I'm sitting on the couch. Awesome. Or I'll prop it under my knees if my back hurts. So there are all these different ways to use it. But I think using pillows from the bed, they squash down too much. And who's going to keep, you know, 10 standard size pillows on their bed to make sure that their hips are propped up?
Well, and even then you're on this leaning tower of pillows.
Exactly. There actually, something came of that. There's a position called, I think, the rock star, where I was just using all of these pillows and pillows and pillows, and they just toppled into one big heap. And then I thought, oh, well, there's a position. I threw myself on top of the pillows. From like stomach first, and it made a very interesting position. But at any rate, you can use, if you don't have a Liberator, I think the best way to go is cushions from your couch, the ones that you sit on, the ones on the back of your couch, if they're there. Those are usually made out of a harder foam, or at least a denser material that can be much, don't squash as much, I think.
And just an aside, what's your opinion on Tempur-Pedic versus bouncy beds?
You know, that's a really good question. No one's ever asked me that before. I have a Tempur-Pedic topper on my bouncy bed. so I guess I don't love the Tempur-Pedic, but I have a back issue. So, you know, some people love it. I think it's just you have to trial and error. Yeah. So I guess my answer is I don't have a very good opinion one way or the other.
We have this debate because they're so comfortable for sleeping in, but they do absorb all your bounce.
Oh, yes. Yeah. No, I mean, I prefer if I were to go out today to buy a mattress, I would not get a Tempur-Pedic. Maybe that's the answer. Mm.
Yeah. So what do you think is the most underrated sex position? What do we overlook?
Oh, missionary, without a doubt. I think people think of missionary and they think vanilla. They think that's what you do. It's a serviceable, regular, everyday type of position, you know, where the receiver is on the bottom and the giver is on the top. But missionary can be modified in so many delicious ways that it is, I think, the most versatile of all positions. And even when you don't think you're doing missionary, you're kind of doing missionary. I mean, a lot of the positions in my book, even when they're not under the missionary position, they probably could be, you know, I had to divide things up into sections, but they probably could also be considered missionary, you know? I just think that it opens you up in such a way, or it can open you up in such a way that makes access so much easier. And it's also, can be super sexy if you just want to fuck, and it can also be super intimate if you want to make love. So I think it's the most versatile. I love missionary. It's my favorite position of all.
Mm. Yeah. And I do love that your book includes positions not only for intercourse, but for hand sex and oral sex and other ways of getting off. Why was this important to you?
Well, you know, I think when people think of sex, they think of penetrative sex. And if we're really defining it, it's really not just penetrative sex. Sex can be with the hands or can be with the mouth. So all different kinds of sex. So if they're sex positions, it has to include that. Also, you know, I don't think we give hand sex and oral sex enough credit, certainly hand sex. These are really great ways to give our partners pleasure and to receive pleasure that doesn't include penetrating somebody else. If that's not your bag, or if you are just not built that way, or you just don't like, a lot of people don't like to have penetrative sex. So I know that with my partner, you know, we'll have penetrative sex maybe 50% of the time because we enjoy everything else as well. So I think that deserved, I think those deserved their own sections basically, so that people who are not ready to have sex yet or just don't have, I mean, penetrative sex or just don't have the kind of penetrative sex that the positions suggest, that they also get some sort of nod and a way to have it in a comfortable way.
And one point in the book, you address the myth of crushing your partner with your weight.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about this and any other myths that really hold big girls back?
Yeah. You know, the crushing one was a hard one because there are some people out there that don't necessarily agree with me. But I talk to a lot of people for research for this. And, you know, if you think about it, throughout history, and even way, way, way back when, you know, female of the species was much more diminutive even than we are now. I mean, we evolved and the male of the species was a lot bigger for procreation. There's just no way that I can see, unless you are purposely trying to crush somebody, to crush them. You can hold yourself up with your arms. You can prop yourself up. There are, like I think I say in the book, you know, Shaquille O'Neal is almost, maybe he is 7 feet. And he had a girlfriend who was 5'4 and maybe 90 pounds soaking wet and worked out fine. She's still alive and walking around, you know? So I think you just have to be mindful, but everybody does. You know, like I said, my partner is, you know, an average size cis male. And I don't crush him. I outweigh him.
Yeah.
And I certainly outmass him. I don't crush him. He's never uncomfortable. I can sit on top of him and do, you know, cowboy or reverse cowboy or whatever. And he's perfectly fine. But I'm not doing anything different than I did when I was thinner. You know, I'm just being very mindful of not, you know, hurting him on, you know, by accident, like putting my elbow in his eye or something.
Well, I know for myself, it was one of the ways I was bullied as a fat girl.
Yeah.
And so I always was so hesitant about putting my weight on a lover. And I had this one lover and he kept saying to me, like, give me your weight. I want to feel you, like, yeah, relax on top of me. And when I finally could do that, he loved it. And I felt totally held. And
yeah,
it was such a breakthrough moment of like, oh, you can take all of me. I don't need to hold back.
Ugh, that's a great story. That's a very powerful experience to have, you know, to be able to let yourself go and let your body really, really join with somebody else's in a free way. I think there is a lot to be said for that. And if you can get there, I think, and maybe you'll agree, that your life sort of changes, your sex life changes after that, because you've been shown that you're not detrimental to somebody. You're not going to hurt somebody, and you're not going to be made fun of, hopefully, with the right person. And I think that's another myth, too, about fat women, is that nobody wants us. Nobody wants to see our weight. Nobody wants to touch our weight. Nobody wants to feel it. And I have found that as a single person and for someone who is in, you know, like a poly relationship, that the people that I choose are not going to be the people who say, you know, oh, yeah, no, turn around, I don't want to look at your stomach, or you know, you're too fat, I don't want to have sex with you. These are people that want to be with me, and they want to touch me. And if they're not already attracted to my body type, like I would be attracted to somebody who has brown hair, say, then they are attracted to me and all of me, and they want all of me. I had an incident recently where, and I hope we have time for this, that where I was being tied up by my partner, and he was taking pictures of me with my camera and with my phone. And he said, you've got to look at these are really hot. And, okay, I'll look at them, you know? And I looked at them and I was just horrified. I, you know, I just wrote this book and I'm horrified and embarrassed to be seen tied up with all of my fat coming through the, you know, the different portions of rope. And I said to him, okay, I need to take a minute here because I'm not okay right now. So I need to take a minute. He's like, okay, but you look really hot. You look really hot. I'm like, no, that's great that you think that. Yeah. But I need to get okay with that because that's not how I think I look in that moment, right? And so normally, if I hadn't been doing this work on myself, it would have taken me like 6 weeks to get over that, if ever. Yeah. But it took me 6 hours. Yeah. And I thought that was a victory. Yeah. So now I can look at myself in those pictures and just go, yeah, you know what? I may not like what I see there, but that's none of my business. I was having a great time at the time. I was free and I was loving it and I was turned on. And the person who was doing it to me was turned on and having a good time. And that's what matters. Mm. So I think that the myth that it's harder for fat people to date is just that, a myth. And that's going to be very, people are going to get very mad at me for that. But I have the same problems dating as my average size friends. And I actually have more success dating than my conventionally beautiful friends. Mm. And it all goes in waves for both of us. And we all have the same issues. And there's somebody for everybody. And I know that's a cliche, but it's true. So anyway.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of men love the flesh and love the abundance. And it takes a lot of trust to embrace that idea for ourselves.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
So a lot of people are ready to explore new positions, but feel a little bit shy about bringing it up. Can you provide a bit of a sample script for what to do if you're ready to initiate a new position?
That's a good question too. I think that if you are comfortable enough with your partner to be letting them inside your body in one way or the other, or at least licking parts of your body, I think always being truthful and kind is the place to start. And something like, you know, I really love it when you go deep inside me, for instance. I really love it when you're deep. You know, I saw this position in a book, or I thought of this position, or whatever, and I'd like to try it because I think it would be really, really fun to see how deep you can go. Or I've always wanted to do doggy style, but it's always been really hard on my arms. And what if we built sort of a fort with these cushions, and we could role play it, or you could just bend me over the couch and do it that way, so I don't have to lean my hands. There's no shame in telling your partner that something is uncomfortable for you because of whatever reason. Maybe you've just had surgery, or you've, you know, just been riding a horse. and you just can't spread your legs. So I think it's always just coming from the position of you wanting to do this and saying, let's try this because I think it'd be fun to do together, be fun to experience together. I want to feel you in a different way. I want you to touch me here while we're having sex. I want you to feel freer. I want to feel your hands on the back, on my back, while my legs are all the way to one side. I want that feeling. And I don't know anybody who's not going to respond to someone else saying, I want you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no matter what comes after that sentence.
Yeah, exactly.
And thank you. I'm now obsessed with the idea of a sex fort.
Yes. I think it's something you should explore.
Oh, get out the Boy Scout uniforms.
That's right. Mine was always a majorette for some reason. Awesome. Even though it's nothing to do with forts, but I don't know, maybe it had to do with high school. Yet I digress.
I love it. There's so much more we can talk about, and we'll just have to have you on again.
Oh, thank you. Yes,
thank you so much for writing this book and for sharing this wisdom with everyone. Where can people find you online?
I'm at lchase.com. I'm the L Chase on social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.
Amazing. And you can find the book Curvy Girl Sex at Amazon or wherever books are sold online. Pick up a copy for you or the curvy girl in your life. Thank you so much, Elle, and we will speak with you again soon.
Thank you so much. I just love your show, and it's such an honor that you even had me on once, let alone twice. So
we're going to do it again.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you.
Cheers. So come on over to pleasuremechanics.com and check out episode 226 on the podcast page, and you'll find the show notes for this episode with links to L. Chase's website and the book and other resources for curvy girl sex. And when you are ready to jumpstart your sex life for free, come on over to pleasuremechanics.com/free and sign up for our free mini courses. Sign up and we will send you our best sex advice straight to your inbox so you can get started optimizing your sex life right away. I'm Chris from pleasuremechanics.com, wishing you a lifetime of pleasure. Cheers.